Scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Would you go with me to the Lord in prayer for a moment? Lord, I pray this day that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Judy, my wife, asked me this morning if I had my sermon prepared and if I was ready, and I said, just about. I don't think a sermon ever gets finalized until the pastor walks out before a congregation. And at times we hear things that just turn us completely in another direction. Not that my message is going to take much different direction. But as I was listening to Carol read this morning, and as I take my own theological position and believe that Christ at his departure put his apostles and disciples in his place to carry forward that message, I heard myself and each one of us standing in much the same place that Jesus was standing, talking to some group of individuals. Our family, our kids, friends, neighbors, somebody that we've just met, and saying those words, as God has loved you, I love you. Now go and love one another. Think about that. Isn't that awesome? Not that all of Scripture is not awesome, but that's really, to me, absolutely awesome that God has entrusted you and I to take that message out into the world. A number of years ago, I was pastoring a church in Northeast Texas. They had a senior adult Sunday school class, and when I say senior, it was from 75. I think Mr. Willie was about 87. 18, 19 in it. I'd been with those folks about 3 years. And I had never, ever heard a crossword said in the group or by one member of that Sunday school class to another member of that Sunday school class. And I'm beginning to wonder, because I just can't keep my cool that long. I usually have to open my big mouth and stick my foot in it, say something I shouldn't have often ought to said. And I approached one of the fellows and I said, Russell, how is it? I've known you folks 4 or 5 years now. I've never heard a crossword spoken. I've only seen good things said about folks. The most critical thing you ever say is somebody disappointed us, and that was really critical for that group of individuals. And Russell said, Brother Fred, that's easy. We've known each other for the past 70 years or more. We've grown up together. We know everything in the world that there is to know about one another. And they probably did. And we love each other anyway. Think about that. Think about that. I can't even imagine what kind of shenanigans they might have gotten into as young folks, what they might have done to each other. They lived across the road from one another. Literally, Russell was born across the road from where he was living. Been there for 70 plus years when I met him. Knew everything that there was to know about each other and loved each other anyway. Can you remember that first love of your life outside of your family, that young man or young lady? Can you remember that heartthrob? I watched an episode of Andy Griffin last night, and Opie was asking a young lady, first date in his life, asking her out, and I can remember what that felt like. But in these many years that have gone on since that point in time, I've come to understand that love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love's a decision we make. Think about that. Love's a decision we make. And I can tell you for a fact that there are some days when I may not be very lovable. And there may be some individuals in my life that from time to time I don't deem as very lovable either. I worked for a fellow a number of years ago that had the morals of an alley cat. Got in trouble with the IRS and they impounded his boat, which he took bolt cutters and cut off the lock off and took his boat back, and he got racing down the highway and the police pulled him over, and when that occurred, he reached underneath the front seat of the car and began to shoot at the policeman. Do you know they get mad when you do that? They shot him. Put him in the hospital. He didn't live. For a long time, I had a difficult time with my faith and where I was because I really thought he deserved what he got. But you know what? His mother loved him as much as my mother loved me. And God loved him just as much as God loves me. And it helped me get put back on the track or on the track of understanding just what that love situation is all about. Corrie Ten Boom was a lady from Holland who helped Jews get out of Holland, who was taken to the concentration camps, she and her sister. Her sister was put to death in the ovens. Corrie dedicated her life to spreading the gospel. She was in Brazil and had made a presentation. They went to the ballroom and the place where she'd made her presentation, and she looked across the ballroom floor, and on the other side was the guard that had taken her sister away. Think about that and think about love. And Corrie said, you know what? I had to look at myself and say, am I going to be a Christian or not? Can I forgive this fella or can't I? Corrie Ten Boom says, can't. But Jesus Christ can. And she walked across that ballroom floor and forgave the fella. That takes a lot of love. Corrie Ten Boom loved Christ more than she disliked or disloved that guard. And in the process of doing that, put her love life in order and set an example for me and I believe for the rest of us on just how to handle that. I got in a lady's face one night and told her there was nothing in this world that she could do to stop me from loving her. I wasn't being very honest, folks. Got back into my office after refreshments, after the meeting, propped my feet up on my desk, eating a big old piece of chocolate cake. And I said, Lord, what did you do to me? You let me tell that lady I was going to love her, didn't make any difference what she did. And you're going to hold me to that. And you're sitting up there laughing your tushy off at me. It was that experience in my life that helped me understand that the purpose of the journey, bottom line, is to love one another. The scripture passage we heard this morning was at a point in Christ's walk between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane. That 17th chapter, just following his presentation to his disciples, he goes into prayer for those individuals and for you and I. But he's preparing them to do for others what he's done for them. He's told them that he loves them, that his joy is in them, that the Father loves them. Added to that, on the bottom portion of that passage, he said to those fellows, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Now, if you take a look at that group of apostles, there were some real rascals in the midst. If you widen that out and take all of scriptures, there's a whole lot of folks in that line that I'm not going to pick on to be my leadership. Think about Jacob. Think about David. There's a lot of individuals in there that you can pull out. And I hate to add my name or your name to that list, but they probably fit pretty well from time to time. When I think of where I was a number of years ago and where the Lord's brought me, not because of my faith in Him, but because of His faith in me and you. He chose you. Chose you specifically to bring the message of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ loving this world to somebody. There's somebody out there that does not believe that they are loved, that nobody in this world cares, and they need to know that Jesus Christ does. And the only way they may be able to find that out is if you show them your love of Christ and your love of them. Maybe they can begin to believe us. And in that belief, believe in Jesus Christ. I pray for you and I that if we've not come to the point where we begin to love each other, despite the fact that we know each other pretty well, that we can get to that point. I hope you and I can make that same comment to somebody else when they say, "Hey, I've never seen you folks in a beef. What goes on here?" Well, it's like this. We've decided that we're going to love each other. Might not tolerate some things from time to time. Might have to tell you I'm a little disappointed. But that's not going to stop me from loving you. Is there reasons not to from time to time? No. Because that's a decision we make. And that word love will fix all of the problems in the world. Think about that. Think about that. Russell's in his 90s. He's in a nursing home now. He's still sharing that love with folks. I hope in the next couple of months I get to go visit him. But he helped me understand, not only that, he's probably the one that planted that seed where I made that comment that God let me make, "I'm going to love you anyway." And then hold me to it. And that is a joy. Means my apple cart doesn't get turned upside down. Bottom line is I love you. And we can go from there. And he called me and you to share that message with the world. That's a great joy. That is an absolute joy. So let you and I put that into place as we go out in the world this week. We may see somebody that just needs a word of kindness. It doesn't take too many. We close you with this one short story. It's a remembrance out of an editorial written by a fellow by the name of Sidney J. Harris. Wrote for a newspaper in Chicago that's no longer around. Sidney lived downtown in the apartments. Every evening he'd go out to the local newsstand, pick up his evening newspaper. Took a friend along with him one night. As he got his newspaper, the fellow that owned the newsstand just gave him what for. Sidney and his friend walked away, and his friend says, "Sidney, does that man always treat you like that?" Sidney said, "Most nights." He says, "And you put up with that?" Sidney says, "Well, it's like this. I can either let him control my life or I can do what I'm called to do. And I prefer to do what I'm called to do. Whoa. Sydney said he's going to love him anyway. Said the joy in that relationship was that love situation. I just bet you Sydney prayed for him. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, what an awesome knowledge it is for us to know that we are loved. That we have people in our lives that love us without question and always have and always will. At times they've loved us just because you love us, because of a decision they've made, and we are grateful and thankful for that. Because I know, Lord, at some points in my life, I've not been very lovable. But you've surrounded me with folks that have loved me anyway. Might I be willing to do the same, Lord, that my joy might be complete as your joy is complete. I just give you thanks, Lord, for the example and for your care and your grace. Amen.